We drove through a snowstorm from about Ames to the Fort Dodge cutoff, and it was pretty nasty. But then when we got here, you know, we were coming down the highway here and turning into driveway, and, you know, I always get a little excited when I come here, and but there were two Canadian geese standing in the driveway, and I was watching them, and I almost drove in the pond. I forgot to turn when I came off of the highway. There was a car behind me. I'm sure they thought I was drunk, you know. But anyway, you know, I just appreciated so much, Gary, what you said, Mary Kay, what you prayed. And I mean, we could go home after that. And you're right. You know, God did something special today. And he's doing something special at Agape. And, you know, usually when a service like this happens, it's on the heels of some challenges. It's on the heel of some disappointments or some struggles. And I don't know all about those things. I mean, I know a little bit about everything that's going on, but I love that analogy of the foundation. And you guys were a part of the original foundation, and you're still here, and you're right. You know, change is the evidence of life. The reality of life is change, and change is a good thing. And doesn't mean it's easy. Just because it's good doesn't mean it's easy. But if we'll let it happen, if we'll flow with it, if we'll grow with it, you're right. God only knows what is going to be in the next chapter, Jenny. And I'm just glad you're a part of it. And you get to, along with your leadership team, lead Agape into the future. And that's an exciting thing. And lives are going to be impacted and changed, just like they have been in the last 40 years. They're going to be in the years to come. And so today, I want to talk to you, and I'm only, one advantage of being old and retired is I'm not long-winded anymore. And besides that, I got to go to the bathroom, and so I'm not going to stay here forever. But, you know, it's been a long service already, right? Yeah, I should have got up when I had the chance, but I didn't. But anyway, I'm just telling you, I'm not going to be long-winded today, okay? No, I'm good. I am good. But what I want to talk to you about today is dreams. You know, how many of you had a dream last night? We all did. You know, just sometimes we don't remember them. I never remember my dreams. I dream and then I think, oh, I want to tell Ann about that in the morning. And I get up and I can't even remember what it was about. But the other day, I had a dream and I could remember it in the morning. So when we were having coffee, I was giving her blow-by-blow details of my dream. And this happened, and I don't know why. And this happened, and I don't know why. And I spent 10, 15 minutes telling her about this dream I had because I could finally remember it. And I wanted to get up here and tell you about it, but I forgot it. I don't know what I dreamed about. And that's the honest to God's truth, you know. We all dream, but a lot of times we just forget about them. So my question to you today is, what have you been dreaming about? And I'm not talking about the weird stuff. You know, I'm not talking about the things that don't make any sense. Because in reality, there's two kinds of dreams. There's basically two different types of dreams that we have. Number one, the first kind of dream is what I was talking about, what I was telling Ann about that I can't remember. It's a series of thoughts and images and sensations that occur during a person's mind during sleep. We all have those. They say that everybody dreams, it's just that we don't remember them all. But then there's another kind of dream, and that's what I want to talk to you about today, and that is a cherished aspiration. A dream, the second kind of dream. A cherished aspiration, ambition, or ideal. And I want you to think about that. You know, we have all had those. We all have those. We all, I don't care what age we are, like Gary said, you know, he's old like me, you know, but he's still growing and having what I like to refer to as cherished ambitions. What's our ambition at Agape? Jenny, what's in your heart for the future? You know, what is the cherished aspiration or the cherished ideal? You know, I realize we could all talk about crazy dreams that we've had over the years when we sleep, right? We, like I said, we've all had them. But today I want to spend just a few minutes, and I want to talk to you about this second type of dream that we all have, or at least least, let me say it this way, have had. I want to talk about this one because I believe that that second type of dream comes from God. You know, the first type of dream, the thoughts that we have when we're asleep, that might be pizza. That might be some experience you're having, some anxiety that you're dealing with. But the second type of dream, that cherished ambition, aspiration, or ideal, I really believe in my heart that those kind of dreams come from God. And I want you to know that we all have had those. We have those. Some of you have been around here for a long time. You know, you could let that thing go. You could let those cherished ambitions and ideals and, you could let them go, but you don't have to. You know, God is always on the move, and he's in our hearts. And just like he moved here in this service in a special way today, he wants to move in your life, in your family, and continue to move in the church. You know, dreams are like purpose, these cherished ambitions or ideals or aspirations. They're like purpose. They motivate us. If you don't have a dream, what do you have to live for? If you don't have a dream, you don't have purpose. And if you don't have purpose, there's no motivation to live our lives. They cause us, dreams cause us to be more committed. What's going to get us through the difficult times that we go through? Whether it's in our own individual lives, our families, or our church, what's going to get us through those difficult times? What's going to give us the energy to keep going? It's a cherished ideal. It's a cherished aspiration or ambition. God's not done with agape. Just because things change on the surface, the foundation is there. And what's going to keep us moving is, what's our dream now? What's our aspiration now? What are our ideals? What are the things that are important to us? What do we want to see now? I heard someone say, where there's a dream, there's hope. I love that. Where there's hope, there's faith. And where there's faith, there's a realization of that hope. Dreams can and do come from God. They do come from God. The Holy Spirit, and they will, if you let them, lead us into the purposes of God. They'll lead us into our futures. They'll lead us into our next steps. They'll lead us into a different version of the plan of God. You know, sometimes, you know, dreams, when we have them, we'll talk a little bit about this, but, you know, they don't always work out the way that we thought that they were going to work out, and when we thought they were going to work out. And sometimes, you know, because of the delay or the pause or whatever, we get a little bit discouraged and we give up on them. And I always like to tell people, don't ever give up on your dreams. If something doesn't work out, just get a new plan. You know, the plan that you were working to realize the dream may not always work out. And if that doesn't work out, don't throw the dream away, agape. Just come up with a new plan. And continue to move forward into the things that God has for your life. So the question today that I want to ask you as an individual, as a church family, is what are you dreaming about? You know, what are the cherished aspirations that are coming to you now? I'm not talking about the past, the way that it used to be. What are your dreams now? What are the things that God is giving you now? I could say it that way. What's God showing you? What's God showing you now as an individual living your life for Jesus, as an individual family or as a church family? Nothing? I don't think so. Remember, everybody dreams. Everybody dreams in their sleep, and I believe that if you know Jesus, if you have the Holy Spirit living in your heart and life, he's going to be putting cherished aspirations in your heart, in your life. He's going to be putting things in front of you that are going to motivate you, that are going to cause you to be more committed than you've ever been to do the work, whatever that work is that he's doing. You know, dreams sometimes, they're like this big, huge test. We get them, you know, and we're excited about them. Oh, I can't wait to tell you what the Lord showed me. The Lord showed me this. Pastor Jenny's going to get up here and she's going to talk about what God's showing her and, you know, all these things. But then, you know, it's just like, okay, then the work begins. You know, then there's that, you know, period of time between the amen and there it is. But they come, and then they just, you know, sometimes they, you know, test us, challenge us. Are you going to do what I've asked you to do or not? Are you going to be a part of the future or not? I gave you this dream. The Holy Spirit put it in our hearts and lives to move forward, to keep going. But then the test is are we going to do it? Are we going to commit to be and a part of it? Are we going to motivate that? I like what Gary said, you know. Some of these people have been around here for 30-plus years, and if they were going to leave, they would have left, you know. It's so true. They're here because they want to be here. They're here because they're committed to the future and to the dreams that God has given Agape. Dreams don't only happen when you're asleep. Again, they're God's way of manifesting himself to us. I love that. I think about over the last 43 years and in our journey, you know, and how it all started and began with us, you know, but they're just powerful when you receive them. But, you know, sometimes there's a challenge to them. God will show you this and how can that be? Or I don't want to do that. Or I don't believe that could happen. It can be a challenge. But if we just commit to it, if we open our heart to it, if we say yes to it, if we just don't quit, then all of a sudden God's going to move us into a place that most people never experience. You know what dreams do? They embolden us. When God shows you something and you know that it was the Holy Spirit that showed you this thing and put this in front of you, it emboldens us. I mean, in the face of opposition, in the face of wanting to give up, it just does something in us, and it makes us strong, it makes us committed, it makes us purposeful, if you will. It emboldens us to face the suffering that we have to face in order to realize it. It emboldens us to face discouragement and frustration, and it keeps us from giving up. Another thing dreams do is it generates hope. Man, sometimes when life is burying you, sometimes when life is just no fun, that's like the Holy Spirit shows up. I'm still here. It's like he lets you feel him. And to remind you that he hasn't left you or forsaken you, and it just gives you hope. I don't know how we're going to get through this. I don't know where we're going to be on the other side of this, but we're going to get there. We're going to get there, Agape. We're going to get where God wants us to be. Another thing dreams do is they'll inspire us. I like that. Embolden us, generate hope. Dreams will inspire us. It sounds to me like you had a dream about changing a law, you know, and that dream inspired you to do whatever work you had to do to get it done, and now it's done. God's going to put things in our heart. We don't know everything there is to know yet about our future and about what he wants to do and about how he wants to do it, but he just shows up and he says, hey, Agape, hey, person, hey, son, hey, daughter, I'm still here. I haven't left you. I'm still breathing fresh air and fresh life into your heart and your experience. I love that. Proverbs chapter 3. I got a couple scriptures this morning in this exhortation. But Proverbs chapter 13, verse 12 says, you know this scripture, hope deferred makes the heart sick. Oh, when you're hopeless, it isn't good. But when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life. I want to ask you, Agape, what creates desire? It is a cherished ambition, a cherished thought, a cherished ideal. It's a dream that the Holy Spirit puts in your heart. It is a tree of life. The poorest people in the world are not people without money or possession, but rather people without dreams, without cherished ideals or aspirations. Those are the poor people. People without hope become embittered. They fill up with resentment towards other people. They feel as if they're wasting their lives and their times, and many times they just quit living. But here's where we're going with this today. On the tail end of this, many of you have embraced something here. It's why you're still here. It's why you're a part of this. It's why You have not given up. You've embraced this. You've allowed yourself to dream a little. And we're going to chase this thing until we realize God's future for our lives. But the only problem is that sometimes, have you ever had this? It's like having a dream that you want to remember the next morning, and you get up the next morning, you can't remember it. Sometimes God will give you a word. Sometimes God will put a dream, he'll inspire you. He'll put something in your heart, and you say yes to it, and you take off running, and you like run into a brick wall. You say yes to God, but every time you turn around, it's not working out. And your first thoughts are always, how can this be? You got up and ran, and then you tripped, fell on your face, and then you say, why is this happening? And after a while, you begin to think thoughts like, this isn't going to be easy. It's not. Wherever we're going, it's not going to go without challenge. Whatever we're doing, I mean, if you think back of the last 40 years, I mean, you've had challenge after challenge after challenge to get where you were. It doesn't mean that, you know, just because you've been divinely inspired and you had this incredible move of the Holy Spirit today, that there aren't going to be challenges. Monday's coming. Tomorrow's going to happen. Reality is going to set back in. Well, what was today about? To inspire you to commit your heart to whatever it is that God is calling you to do, to let you know that God hasn't abandoned you. He hasn't forgotten you. He's still there. Then when things don't work out, you know, when you run into the difficult times, you're not going to give up. It's going to be hard, but you're not going to give up. Here's something that you need to know about dreams, okay? I want you to understand this. You know, a good sign that the dream you have is from God is that it's going to be challenged. I mean, if you're not being challenged, if it just all falls in your lap, it's probably not of God. You know, if you're running down the road and there's no opposition and there's no challenges, you better stop and look around. You may be on the wrong road. If a good sign that a dream is from God is that it's going to be challenged and it's not going to work out easily. But the good news is it is going to work out. That's how God shows you he's God. You know, if God asks you to do something that you don't need his help, then it's not God. He's only going to ask you to do things that you can accomplish with his help. I love that. I mean, because sometimes we look at it in our own eyes. How's this going to work out? It isn't going to work out if it's all done in your strength and your wisdom. God's got to help us work this out. You're not in this alone. I love that. Dreams from God have even been known to frustrate and even anger people. After all, you said yes. I said yes, God. Why do I have to go through all this? This isn't right. I don't want to do this. It actually happens. I've known people who got mad at God because they said yes to whatever it was that he asked them to do, and then all hell broke loose. I do have a text scripture, and then I'm almost done, okay? Psalms 105. I love this verse. You know, it talks about the character of God. It talks about, you know, his faithfulness to his word. Psalms 105. I believe that this was penned because the people of God are so quick to get frustrated, are so quick to quit. So I believe that God wrote this 105th Psalm for us. In the Psalms, there's two examples, very familiar examples of two men who received a dream from God and went through hell before they realized it. The example is not just to show you the hell you would go through to realize your dream, but to also show you that if you don't quit, you will get on the other side of it. In Psalms 105, it says, he called for a famine on the land of Canaan, cutting off his food supply. Then he sent someone to Egypt ahead of them, Joseph, who was sold as a slave. They bruised his feet with fetters, and placed his neck in an iron collar until the time came to fulfill his dreams. Now, I want you to look at that. Here's the life of Joseph. We all know the story about what Joseph went in through. He got sold into slavery into Egypt, spent 25 years in slavery. And then it says, until the time came to fulfill his dream. God gives you a dream. There will come a time to fulfill that dream. All we got to do is stay in the game. All we got to do is stay in the fray, stay in the fight, and not quit and not give up. And it will come a time to fulfill the dream. And it says, the Lord tested Joseph's character. You know, remember his brothers made fun of him because they called him the master of dreams. They called him a dreamer. They made fun of him because he had dreams. Verse 20 says, then Pharaoh sent for him and set him free. The ruler of the nation opened his prison door. Joseph was put in charge of all the king's household. Now look at where he's going from in a matter of a decision. He's for 25 years he labored. For 25 years he was nothing more than a slave. And then all of a sudden, in a moment of time, God opened the door. Pharaoh opened the door and put Joseph in charge of everything. Verse 22 says he could instruct the king's aides as he pleased and teach the king's advisors. Joseph served for 25 years without a lot of movement, without a lot of anything coming to pass that God had told him. But then, bam, the door opened and things begin to change. And, you know, that's what's going to happen here, guys. I mean, you know, it's not like, you know, Agape is the only church going through stuff. Every church in the world is going through stuff. Things have changed. The world has shifted, you know, and there are a lot of churches that aren't making it, that are quitting and giving up and dying on the vine, so to speak. But then there's churches like Agape that are hanging on, that are committed to stay faithful to whatever it is that God has called them to. There are churches like Agape that God has given a fresh word to, that God is putting a new dream in the hearts of the people for the future, for the changes that are happening, for whatever we've gone through. And you're right, what a beautiful prayer, Mary Kay, because there's trauma that has manifested in all of our lives because of the last 3 years. But that doesn't mean it's over. That doesn't mean that, you know, God's done with us. We need to understand that change is the evidence of life. And let's let the life that whatever God wants to do in our hearts and through our lives here at Agape come to pass. Let's stay committed. Let's become inspired to the dream that God is putting in our hearts, the direction that God is putting in our hearts. I just want to encourage you today. I'm going to stop there. I want to encourage your hearts. You as the pastor and the pastoral team and the leadership of this church and this family. Ooh, yeah, we're in a shift. We're in a rebuild. We're in a new place, a new beginning. Can we say it that way? Beginnings are good, but it's not how you start, it's how you finish. But let's rejoice in that. Let's stay committed and let the Holy Spirit continue to work in all of our hearts and lives. And listen to your leadership and open up your heart to what it is that God has given them. You know what? And if you get discouraged along the way, I love how this church, the authenticity of this church, how you really care about each other. Be there for each other. Pray with each other in your struggles. But most of all, stay committed to each other as you move forward. Amen? Amen. Amen. So what are you dreaming about? Maybe you're thinking, I haven't had a dream. Well, yes, you do. Maybe you need to open your heart and your mind to it. Don't allow all the change to cloud the truth of the dream that God is trying to show you as an individual family in this church and as a church. Amen? Okay. I guess I'm going to pray. And if you...
We're going to sing again.
So okay, you're going to sing. Well, you know, if you haven't prayed for yet and you have something you want prayed for, I know there's going to be people up here that'll pray with you and agree with you. And so if you, do you have prayer leaders that come forward?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think Doug and Mindy and who else?
Okay. So you can just come forward and you can get prayer this morning before you leave. You're not in this alone. And, you know, I'm kind of an outsider, but I'm not. We love this place. We're family. And we know more about you than you think we know. So I do want to pray with you this morning, okay? First of all, Father, we just are grateful for who you are to all of our lives. God, you love us unconditionally. As screwed up as we are, as messed up as we are, however we come to you, you love us and you continue to love us beyond maybe what we even deserve, but that's just you. And so, Lord, I just want to pray for every family in this church. God, we just had such a special manifestation of your presence in our lives today. And just thank you, Jesus, for just letting us know in a tangible way that you're still with us. You're loving on us. You're leading us. You're allowing our futures to unfold. Whatever struggles or trauma that people may be facing in their lives, I thank you, Father, that you are the love that conquers all of them. And I pray for agape, Lord. I thank you for this transition, for the change. But Lord, we do say thank you, Jesus, for that foundation that has been laid that will be built on anew and afresh for your glory and for the kingdom and for all the lives, the precious lives that will be changed because of this house, because of this light in this community that will continue to burn brighter than ever.